Jackson, the Paul Butterfield Blues Band, and Buddy Guy. You're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, and this is Folk City. And now here's some music from Greenwich Village.
Cold and frosty night, Mr. Stackley and Billy DeLance had a great fight. Crime, when you lose your money, learn to lose. Old Stackley shot six bits, Billy DeLance Betty Pass. Stackley out with his 45 says, you done shot your last. When you lose your money, learn to lose. Lord, a woman comes a running, fell down on the knees, crying, Lord, Lord, Mr. Stackley, don't shoot my brother, please. When you lose your money,
sparrow who's traveled far. absurd. I'd be laughed at and scorned if the other swans heard. And who will take pity in his heart? Prosper and grow. Who will love a little sparrow? Will no one ride her but me? I will sit the earth for all unto me. From dust were he made, and dust he shall be.
Perhaps it's the color of the sun cut flat, uncovering the crossroads I'm standing at. Or maybe it's the weather or something like that. Put that even on my mind. I don't mean trouble, please don't put me down. Don't get upset, I am not pleading. I do not walk the floor, bow down and bend, but yet that even on my mind. Even though my mind is hazy and my thoughts they might be narrow, where you've been don't bother me or bring me down in sorrow. It don't even matter who you're waking with tomorrow. Daddy, just on my mind. I am not asking you to say words like yes or no. Please understand me. I'm not calling for you to go. I'm just breathing to myself, pretending not that I don't know. That daddy even on my mind. When you wake up in the morning, baby, look inside your mirror. Oh, you know I won't be next to you. You know I won't be near. I'd just be curious to know if you can see yourself as clear as someone who's had you on her mind. As someone who has had you on her mind.
The magic dragon lived by the sea. Blackie kept the lookout perched on Puff's gigantic tail. Noble kings and princes would bow whene'er they came. Pirate ships would lower their flags when Puff roared out his name. Giant's rings make way for other toys. One gray night it happened, Jackie Paper came no more. And Puff, that mighty dragon, he ceased his fearless roar. His head was bent in sorrow, green scales fell like rain. Puff no longer went to play along the cherry.
Lesson too late for the learning, made of sand. In the wink of an eye, my soul is turning in your hand, in your hand. Are you going away with no word of farewell? Will there be not a trace left behind? Well, I could have loved you better, didn't mean to be unkind. You know that was the last thing on my mind. You've got reasons aplenty for going. This I know, this I know. For the weeds have been steadily growing. Please don't go, please don't go. Are you going away with no word of farewell? Will there be not a trace left behind? Well, I could have loved you better, didn't mean to be unkind. You know that was the last thing on my mind. As I lie in my bed in the morning, without you, without you, each song in my breast dies a born, without you, without you, are you going on? Well, I could have.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs.
And coming up next on Free Radio, it's Bathrop Spears Broadsides. Just a chugging and a struggling. And pleased that the studio equipment is working here at Free Radio 101.3 FM. Stay tuned.
Nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you. Sing me of wars and sing me of breadlines. Tell me of front page news. Sing me of strikes and last minute headlines. Dress your observation in syncopation. Sing me a song with social significance. There's nothing else that will do. It must get hot with what is what, or I won't love you. I want a song that's satirical, putting the mirror into miracle. It must be packed with social fact, or I won't love you. Sing me of kings and conferences martial. Tell me of mills and mines. Sing me of courts that aren't impartial. What's to be done with them? Tell me in rhythm. Sing me a song with social significance. There's nothing else that will do. It must be tense with common sense, or I won't love you.
And again, welcome to the show. I'm Robert Norris, and I'll be with you for the next 2 hours. You can be with me if you want to call in. 427-3772 is the call-in number here again, 427-3772. Catch me off air if you have messages, criticisms that are too hot to put on the air or perhaps too cool at 423-HUFF, 423-HUFF, 423-4833. Although this, of course, is an area code 831. For all of you distant listeners, if any of you are still listening, and probably a few of you still are. So this show is going to continue the some of the interviews that I did recently, but also some time ago when Lucero Luna, a freedom sleeper, rather frustrated and upset at the laws and at the failure of the community to respond to the injustice of the anti-homeless sleeping ban law specifically, made her stand on Pacific Avenue and became quite vocal about her concerns, prompting, I think, the newly white-clad rangers who have taken over the job of the hosts, the hospitality squad, as I used to call them. And I think first alarm security guards are still stalking about down there, as well as uniformed armed police officers armed with deadly force in case people get out of hand, you know. Not to mention tasers and batons and of an entire legal system that is behind them, regardless of the justice or injustice of what they do, as we saw in Baltimore in the murder of Freddie Gray and the recent failure of convictions, even when the state prosecutor, a special state prosecutor, comes in and tries to prosecute. I don't know if we've ever had a successful prosecution of a police officer here in Santa Cruz, even though they were caught brutally beating up homeless people some decades ago in the infamous Code Blue scandal at the end of the 70s and the trials in the early 80s. And there have been plenty of instances, dozens if not hundreds over the years, that have been documented on this show. Or at least if you believe the accounts of the people who talk about what has happened to them. And I tend to, because I also am a skeptic. I don't believe just whatever comes my way. In fact, some activists feel I'm too skeptical of the accounts that come in. If you have accounts, I want to hear about them. What's been happening on Pacific Avenue? What's been happening around town? What's been happening with the rents? Your landlord? Stuff at your job that may be impacting you as a person who's perhaps not too far away from the streets, given the cost of living here? Give me a call here at 427-3772. Make sure I've got the ringer on so we can see if you're coming through. And, yeah, you're coming through if you call in, 427-3772. Let's begin where I left off. I think it was probably Sunday before last, maybe last Sunday. We've had studio problems here with some equipment, so that my last show, my last Sunday show, was actually a canned show prepared in advance, and it actually was aired for the first time last Sunday. It was a very long show, and if you ever want to catch my old shows, you can. They're on the HUF website, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom website, and they're under the link latest shows under the name of the show, which is Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. So if you go there, you can hear, well, there are literally probably several thousand shows, or at least hundreds, and there are going to be more. We're dutifully creating a chronicle over the years, which I'm not entirely sure the merit, that the usefulness of that, but doing it anyway. So you can go there if you want to hear old shows. Or you can just listen to this show and maybe call into this show. So we're going to bust in on Lucero Luna back on July 20th. It's nearly a little bit over a week ago when she was on the sidewalk. I had heard that she had been arrested several days before for a protest on Pacific Avenue where she was violating one of the matrix of trip laws, the pretext laws for police to take away people if they get a complaint from an anxious, nervous, or hostile merchant, or if they see something they don't think looks right. They can usually find something wrong if they want to. And, of course, their main purpose, as I think is honestly the case, is to drive the person away from Pacific Avenue without arresting them or even citing them necessarily, though I think that rookie cops do a lot of citing, and sometimes experienced cops do citing to show the rookie cops how to be abusive without within the law, you see, for people who are simply exercising, you would have thought, were their right to be in public spaces without being hassled or harassed, regardless of their class status, which, of course, is never been the case in the United States, really, except on during rare periods and or, you know, when the... Well, it's always been a challenge, I think, for poor people, and it's always been an ingression, an extension of power, a creeping attempt to seize the space by the wealthy, particularly pleasant spaces like Santa Cruz that you had thought were public, but now that they've become patios for their valued real estate, it is something they want to drive the poor, the homeless, the unsightly, and also minorities, unless they're, of course, wealthy people, who, and they will allow wealthy minorities into their club, so to speak, away, out of town, somewhere else. Ironically, the town runs on low wages, so they have to import labor. And it's, of course, people have to commute long distances on decaying bus lines with dropping routes. The Metro Riders Association was trying to fight that, and I haven't heard anything from them recently, but I understand there's almost surely a cutback in routes, and I haven't heard any pungent analysis, clear analysis of the budget of the Metro Transit Authority, because it seems to me it's usually the case that if you cut from the top, you can sustain or expand services at the bottom. And you got to watch out for a managerial class, a class of so-called experts, a class of politicians or those appointed by politicians who do a very good job at running a city into the ground economically through the kind of austerity policies that are sort of the neoliberal Bible all over the world. And in a sense, I think they're also, you know, they're present here in Santa Cruz as well. That is, the policies that essentially involve making the middle class and the poor pay for the financial transgressions, the profiteering, the determination to maintain the system as it is that the rich do, or the wealthier do. Anyway, Lucero is out there doing some shouting and speaking and raising her voice in ways that I would think middle-class shoppers might not be accustomed to. And I came along, and she was confronted with, I guess, Sergeant Bush, the Santa Cruz Police Department, several rangers. I think Matthews may have been one of them. He, I'm told, is Mayor Cynthia Matthews' son, following in his mother's paw prints. I guess that's kind of a slur on dogs or wild animals, because I don't know that wild animals treat other animals the way humans treat lower classes. In any case, let's jump into that, and then you can make your own decisions as you listen. You can also call in and comment, 427-3772. Some of this I played before, but I'm starting again because it's a new show. It was some time ago, and frankly, I need to orient myself as to what's cooking.
We have two rangers, officers, Rangers Silas and Matthews, and Sergeant Bush.
Yeah.
Here at the table in front of Williams Jewelers. Lucero is sitting on a bench. Lucero, what's been happening?
Are you the father? The father of the son, the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
So what's been happening? Give us a break. Tell us what's cooking.
And the laughing person is, of course, Lucero Luna, who is perennially giggling about this kind of stuff. Maybe that's how she keeps her good spirits in a rather grim situation. But that is her.
Well, it's written. Slim for Prince. You'll read it. Okay, I'm missing reading.
It looks like a variety of flyers and newspapers laid out on a bench near, as I said, Marini's in front of Dale Williams Jewelers. And it looks like it's a political protest.
All right, I'm going to take Honor, but if you can do what you can to help her out, maybe keep her calm. Keep her from getting any tickets. She might.
And this is the helpful side of Sergeant John Bush, in the sense, I use helpful a little sarcastically here. It's hard to fathom John's motives. He's a police officer, and as such, he's to some extent the tool of the Downtown Association, the merchants, conservative residents, Take Back Santa Cruz, and so forth. But he also has some discretion. So he's, when I arrive with my audio and possibly my video, he doesn't know what I've got, he perhaps wants to avoid a scene arresting one woman engaged in a political protest, essentially putting leaflets on a bench and talking about the situation loudly to passersby, but not hurting anybody, not causing any real damage to anything, but certainly violating some ordinances. It's illegal to display political signs on a bench or and it's I guess we've called conduct on public property would be the way to go after someone who's doing that if you chose to do so. But as you just heard from Sergeant Bush, he decided not to do that and said he was taking off, and you'll hear him suggest that he's really was concerned about her. He wants to make sure she's okay and so forth. Lucero lives in her vehicle, and she's not okay in a number of ways, in the sense that she has no security at night as a single woman. She's harassed by vigilantes, or the fear of vigilantes, which is becoming increasingly significant as Take Back Santa Cruz types and their reps on city council, Rochelle Naroyan, Pam Comstock, Cynthia Matthews, David Gerasis, even Don Lane. And even Don Lane and Micah Posner go along with it, a lot of this shit, perhaps trying to maintain a middle-of-the-road position. It's kind of like what the Democratic Party does. It becomes more and more Republican in order to continue to woo what it considers to be the center instead of directing people into the left where they need to go, which in the sense that we're left here means paying more attention to the needs of those who are poorer than the privileges and power and prerogatives of those who are wealthier. This was all happening on Pacific Avenue during the day as I happened along. And again, it was a couple days after Lucero was twice arrested for sitting down within 14 feet of a building. I think it was Borders. And she was taken to court by the police. You can read about it, at least one account of it, on the Santa Cruz Indie Media, indiebay.org/Santa Cruz. Go to that, look on the right side of the Indie Bay website, and you'll find a rather detailed story with photographs from Zob Hirschfeld. Good work, Zob. I heard a somewhat different account than he gave, but it pretty much amounts to the same thing. They took her to court. The court gave her a ticket and said, appeared another time. They released her. She went back and did exactly the same thing again. To wit, she put her butt down on the sidewalk and began talking about the sleeping bag. I think she actually lay down on the sidewalk at a place where the sidewalk is like 24 feet wide, and she was in no way blocking the sidewalk, I assume. She wasn't charged with that. But it's illegal to lie down on the sidewalk anywhere. And it's not just that you can't be 14 feet from a building, 14 feet from a bench, 14 feet from a crosswalk, 14 feet from a directory sign. That is saying that the 1% or less of the space left, you can't be anywhere in the downtown area lying down on any public property. That's criminal behavior created in 1994 by the Rotkin-Matthews Council. Actually, the mayor at the time was Scott Kennedy, and the elder Coonerty, previously supervisor, his son has now taken over that dishonor, Ryan Coonerty, but it was Neil Coonerty, and his pack of council folks who did this. Continuing.
I listen to you. I tried to talk to her earlier today and help her out and see if there's anything I could do to, you know, make her day a little better, help her out. Or
what happened yesterday?
Yesterday, I think she was sitting in front of a building and refused to sign a ticket. And so.
Was she arrested twice or just once?
I think she got cited once, and the second time she went to jail.
Was she taken to the court or to jail?
First time she went to court, because it was during court hours.
Did she ask to be taken to court, or was that just a decision?
I was not here for that part of it.
But what's your understanding, if any?
I think she just refused to sign. So when you refuse to sign during the day, you go before a judge. After hours, you go to...
Oh, good for the police department.
And that isn't... It's news to me that they're actually doing that with regularity. We made it a point, some of us, very few of us actually, in the past, and then during the freedom sleepout, of demanding to be taken to a court if they wanted us to sign an infraction ticket, the lowest kind of ticket in the sense of the least... ticket with the least penalty, though still hefty financial penalties and a requirement to come to court or start suffering all kinds of other penalties. And so some people don't want to go to court. They say, that's ridiculous. I'm not doing anything that's criminal. This is an attempt to harass and intimidate me and stop me from using a public space in a fashion which I'm entitled to do. And what we're hearing now from Sergeant Bush, and I believe him, is that apparently there is a practice of taking people to court before a judge immediately, not to determine the their innocence or guilt, but to determine whether the police have probable cause to issue a citation. This probable cause standard, as many listeners may know, is a lower standard than the finding of guilty or not guilty, which is guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. You have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that someone met all the elements of the crime, where the probable cause is a much weaker standard that allows the police to believe you're violating the law and then write you a citation, require you to come to court, and then there will be, if you are willing to go through the take the weary trek through a court trial, and it will always be a court trial, which is to say a trial before a judge and not before a jury and not with an attorney, at least that the city or the state will not appoint one for you. You have to hire one if you want to get an attorney, and very few do in infraction cases. In any case, it's interesting that this is a new process. It's new to me that police are regularly doing it. They are required to do so under state law, and they have been doing so under the general orders of the police department when asked to do so by people who are getting infraction tickets. I was a witness to that when Becky Johnson and Tim Rinker were cited for chalking political slogans in erasable chalk on the downtown sidewalk, and they were ticketed for it, and they went to court immediately, asked to be taken to court, were taken to court, and they're given a citation and went to trial later. And I think there were some guilty and some not guilty, having nothing to do with the substance of the charges. It seemed more like the whim of the judges. It's really a real crapshoot in a crappy situation for activists who want to either assert their rights or expand the rights of the community or restore the rights of the community. Anyway, that was the story way back when, and also on apparently, again, it's become even more routine to take people to court. What this means, in order to determine if there's an actual probable cause, what this means is that this is one way of getting the police off the avenue and making them pay a cost for harassing people under the downtown ordinances. The ordinances say you can't sit down, can't be on a bench for more than an hour, can't be in one of the blue boxes for more than an hour, can't be outside the blue boxes if you have a table of any kind. Even though I was walking down the avenue the other day, and I think that I counted 7 or 8 blue boxes total that were in the central downtown area between Soquel and Cooper Streets. And I think 5 out of the 7 or 6 out of the 8, I'm not sure how many there were exactly, were filled up. So you can't use any space if the boxes are filled up in that area, as though, you know, that was somehow a traffic problem or a clutter problem or a safety problem. But it isn't a problem at all. It is an aesthetic and cultural and class war decision made by the Santa Cruz City Council and those pressing for this law. And that's part of, I think, although Lucero wasn't talking about the blue boxes, she was talking about the sleeping van. And let's get back to Lucero. And since I've been making my own thoughts clear, let's see what her thoughts are.
Commend you guys on that.
Yeah, so, anyhow, it's just, you know, between you and me, if you could.
Well, what would she be charged with?
Well, nothing right now. But right. Earlier, she told me she was intent on getting arrested and doing some sort of crime to get herself arrested. And I would
she's here for more than an hour. It could be a perfect opportunity.
Come on, I'm just asking. I think she's a friend of yours, trying to help her out.
She's certainly a comrade, no
question. She is. She's never been a bad lady. I think the last couple of days she's been a little upset, and I would hate to see something happen to her, and I thought maybe you could, you know, she might.
How long was she
you.
In jail for you?
I don't know, Ron. You might have to ask her. So.
Well, I'm glad you are keeping an eye on things, but respecting the rights of the people in the community to sit on benches, even with a bunch of literature.
That's no problem.
Okay,
that's
good.
No, wrong. I'm just saying.
You're worried she's excited and something else may happen.
She told me earlier that I better bring backup because she's going to want to do something to get herself arrested or to get in trouble. And I would really not want that to happen, so maybe you can talk her out of going.
I will investigate further.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you very much.
And I still am of the opinion, I'm skeptical that that Bush would have left so quickly if I and others hadn't showed up. Not because, I mean, I'm perhaps sounding reassuring, but I think, I'm hoping Bush knows. Actually, I don't really care whether he knows it or not, but I think it's pretty clear that I pretty much stand on the side of the rights of the people who are trying to exercise the right to be in public spaces, as I continue to iterate, reiterate, and then reiterate again. And so he's, I don't know if he wants to have all this stuff videoed and audioed and then become a cause celebre downtown. I think they're told to avoid that kind of thing. But if she was alone, she was arrested the day before, twice. And you might say, well, she was taken to jail once, to the court once, but those are two arrests. Arrests is when, you know, you're told you can't leave the area. So a detention is really a form of arrest as well. Having a little kidney equipment here.
Thank you very much, John.
All right, take care.
See you at City Council.
Yeah. On a break right now. I miss you.
Oh, well, you know how it is. You can't do it 24 hours a day. So the two Rangers are about to walk off as Lucero bids them goodbye or chats with them.
So they have more staff to document, and the sheriffs can have fun on
brushing. So the two Ranger downtown units take off. Lucero, any reports on this? What happened yesterday? I know I got some on the phone from you. But
I protested the sit and lied.
By doing what?
And he refused to arrest me, and another one refused to arrest it. And so they took, so I didn't sign, so I went in front of the judge, and then I came and did it again, and this time they had to arrest me.
And how long were you held in the Huskow?
I don't know, see, but a few hours, yeah. And they denied me juice, and I couldn't eat any of the dinner they were serving, so the only thing I could have eaten is a slice of pineapple. Only they, I didn't want to take the whole thing, because I didn't want to waste my poor four-legged animals that they killed.
Here. Now, were you taken upstairs? Hey, Penny. Penelope, Lucero. Lucero, Penelope.
Oh, a tofu back, huh? Okay. Bring the one some, what is it? What is it? Sacramento, yes. There was some horses, so we can say.
Lucero's talking to a passing squad car. Two passing squad cars.
Exactly. Off the horses.
So I'm not sure if this is the right kind.
Lucero's receiving some coconut milk, chocolate coconut milk.
Yeah.
Will that work?
Yeah, it just looks a little different.
I'm sorry about the chips. These are multi-grain tortillas.
Oh, thank you. Yes. That will work. Okay. Thank you.
What about something for me?
I can share.
Right here. Fair enough.
I'll share.
Would
my
you like a cookie?
No, you're doing a fine job.
Thank you.
And for free yes. Radio, what's your first name?
You know who kissed her ass? Hmm? Officer Bush. I kissed her ass to come back to me.
Really? So, did you know Lucero from elsewhere, or did you just observe this?
No, we know each other from before, and I was just seeing if she needed something to eat.
Yeah, that's cool. It's becoming difficult to eat. At least Homeless Lack of Services Center has closed the meals to outsiders now. You know.
That's what I hear. Yeah.
And
hang on. Sorry.
Sure.
So I'm wondering if you and I can meet tomorrow.
I'm
doing
my seat. If I get arrested later on, I'm going to probably just sleep in tomorrow late.
Okay.
What's tomorrow?
Tomorrow's Thursday.
And just regarding the Homeless Lack of Services Center, which I mentioned and the woman who's giving Lucero food confirmed, is no longer providing meals. They haven't actually for a year to those who walk in and ask for them, as they used to for the last 20 years, thereabouts. More than that, 24 years if you count the period when the Homeless Lack of Services Center, which calls itself the Homeless Services Center, was the Homeless Community Resource Center, and before that it was called A Free Meal. That was actually the name of the service out there at Coral Street. I spoke with another activist who went out to the Homeless Lack of Services Center to talk with someone out there, had an appointment. This was not a homeless person or an unhoused person. It was a member of the community. And she reported that they were stopped at the gate, and they were told people were not going to be allowed in until 1 o'clock. This was in the afternoon. This was, I guess, earlier this week. And even though she had an appointment, they wouldn't let her in. And, you know, you can say, well, you know, misunderstandings happen and so forth. But it appears to me the policies out there are becoming more and more restrictive. And along those lines, I've gotten some emails from a person who lives out there in one of the services, one of the programs, as they say, at the so-called Paul Lee Loft, which used to be a walk-in emergency shelter. Well, with a waiting list, but still kind of a walk-in place, but now is simply a closed program with a waiting list, and you can't get in unless you meet the pathway to housing qualifications. Now, Andy Carcero, and I've talked about him on the air and read his stuff, and I'll probably be reading it again soon. He may call in. He rarely does, but he has apparently a deadline eviction date coming up from the program he's in, and he's been reporting some pretty serious, as he views it and describes it, transgressions, particularly impacting disabled people out there. And that's something that Pat and John Colby, disabled activist advocates, have been raising the roof around for a number of years out there, defending very specifically and very courageously the rights of individuals who are denied access. I mean, I myself am more interested in the general situation. And, you know, I tell people who complain, get together with other people, let's all do something together, instead of spending a lot of individual time on individual cases. But they do. They spend a lot of time in individual cases and often are quite successful in backing down authorities from their unreasonable and abusive positions, whether it's holding homeless property at the police station or harassing them on the street because of their race, and yeah, that happens in Santa Cruz. Or, and we'll see in this situation whether Andy Carcero is going to be evicted. Now, what I think I'll do actually is interrupt Lucero's account to read some of the email exchange that I got from both Andy Carcero and from John Colby. If I have it, I'm seeing if it's here. Let's see. Andy on Monday wrote, "So here's the gig. I contacted California Disability Rights Saturday and received a prompt response. I was again contacted by Disability Rights California this morning for an intake process. After a discussion of my situation, I was given an appointment to talk with an attorney August 4th. 11 a.m. with a stipulation that if the Santa Cruz Homeless Center's eviction process began any earlier, my appointment would be moved to provide counsel before that date arrived." And, of course, it was. It was moved up, according to a letter he subsequently received, to August 1st, which is, what, 3 days away? Something like that, 3 or 4 days ago, away. "I'm simply asking this disability rights organization to prevent my eviction for 30 days. I'm requesting the extra 30 days in order to acquire legal advice as to how to take a considerable family trust. Although I presented transitional housing detailed information regarding the assets of the trust and gave them full permission to discuss the financing of my trust inheritance, none came. I was also left without adequate information from my initial attorney, Jack Ritchie. I found myself at the last minute. I found out that with SSI being counted, I cannot make more than $1,000 a month without forfeiting disability. There is a substantial amount of funds coming from a receivable January 2017, but presently there is $18,000. And he's talking essentially about his need to delay his exit because of this, the legal and financial complications and implications of his inheritance situation. I have no idea the merits of this, its accuracy. but he seems to be pretty specific about it. And he just wants an additional 30 days so he can work things out with his disability lawyer. The response from Keely McCabe, Director of Programs at the Homeless Lack of Services Center, which calls itself the Homeless Services Center, was, "Andy, we're glad to hear your inheritance is going to work out. I know it's been a trying process, but it's great that Jack is able to adequately assist you. I would like to once again clarify you are not being evicted. You cannot be evicted. You are not a tenant. You are residing in an emergency shelter program, not transitional housing, not permanent housing. Like all emergency shelter programs, the loft has a time frame for which participants can reside. Most shelters are 3 to 6 months long. The loft is now a 3-month program with possibilities of extensions up to 6 months. You have resided in the loft for 12 months. You are not eligible to remain any longer. We cannot give you a 30-day extension. Your threats, both blatant and latent, will not result in getting more time. As we have stated, you will continue your housing work with both Joe and Lindsay after your exit from the loft. Both can assist you in finding a temporary safe place to stay after July 30th. To which Andy replied, on Tuesday, that was, I guess, 2 days ago, "So exactly what is my exit date from the loft? Keely, if you force me into the streets, you'll be forcing a severely physically disabled man of 59 years into a situation that will be a medical disaster to him and put him in danger of being a victim of the criminal elements that prey upon poor, defenseless, disabled people. You and the Homeless Lack of Services Center," he doesn't use that phrase, I think he calls it SCHS, "will be legally and morally responsible for violating my civil rights as a disabled American citizen. This is a continuation of a money-hungry ruthlessness that began with the deaths of Mike Todd, Paige Smith, and Dennis Shaw. It continued through the disabled persons who were transferred to the loft, being locked out from bathrooms and water from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. And it is seen in how I have been treated in the past and how you are treating me now. You are treating me no better than a barnyard animal. For those that are reading this, my disabilities are as follows. Compression fractures, thoracic 5 and 6. Severely damaged left hip joint never replaced because of complication caused by 2 failed reconstructions of the tibia and the fibula. And the chronic infections that occurred after an accident working here at SCHS. I also have an impaired heart valve that I was recommended to have open heart surgery to replace. It is a birth defect. I have never had a single incident while staying here over 5.5 years and have worked thousands of hours of volunteer time. I am a victim of SCHS incompetence, Santa Cruz Homeless Services, and all I'm asking for, if needed, is a few extra days. Of course, that's all Mike Todd and Dennis Shaw asked for, and they're dead now." To which he received this reply from Keely McCabe, director of the program. "Andy, your exit date is stated on your 30-day exit notice that Jordan gave you on July 1st. Since July 30th and 31st are on the weekend, we expect you to be out by the morning of Monday, August 1st. And once again, Lindsay and Joe can help you find a safe place to stay while you continue your housing search." Keely. And Andy then responds, "Thanks. Need to tell the news people. Can't miss a photo op like this. Robert, you out there, Food Not Bombs, Channel 8, want video and audio." So Andy is interested in making this a public issue, and so is his supporter, John Colby, who has contacted me repeatedly over the last 2 days, and luckily is moderating his phone calls now. Thank you, John. And he intends to go out there and do some, take some video, do some publicity, maybe do some tabling. I've been invited to come along, and I will do so as well on Monday morning. And I'll be giving you more information about this if it's actually put together. I'm not doing the organizing around this, but I am trying to be supportive. And if you want more information, give me a call at 423-4833, and I will refer you to John Colby. And I don't know if Andy Carcero has a number. In any case, that is, you know, the most sort of detailed and focused case, and it's been going on for some months now, this Andy's had a number of other concerns about the services out there in terms of their impact on the disabled people who live there. His immediate, of course, desire is to remain in the shelter, even though he has numerous criticisms of it, until he gets his inheritance thing resolved, or at least for the next month. I'll hopefully have more details about this on Sunday, and I'm kind of acting as a transmission belt here. I got to tell you, I don't have all the details and facts on this that I have verified myself. Andy's been reluctant to come to Huff meetings, as has John Colby and Pat Colby recently. So they're really operating on this sort of situation independently. And perhaps they can provide more information. Maybe they'll call in tonight. Maybe they'll call in on Sunday. Maybe they'll provide information through some other means. In the meantime, I'm going to get back to Lucero Luna's adventures on, I guess it was a week ago Wednesday.
Actually, I'm going to be protesting over there on the west side, parking my car there where it's sore for the Nazis on Santa Cruz.
Maybe she could meet you there.
So over there on...
Melrose and Butler. See, they're having a summer program, and someone is sleeping in the car.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, criminal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I said, well, I'll be back. But I'm too busy over here because my car is protesting at one that I've been using just not. What is it with the nuts?
Well, if you're not arrested, maybe you'd like to come on free radio, Lucero, and you too, if you feel like it.
What is it with the nuts?
Unfortunately.
It's okay.
Thanks for the interview.
Sure, it'll be Thursday night, tomorrow night at 6. I'll give you a card.
See, yeah. Either my hat or my car, their sore thumb or whatever. So. There's a house in the corner of Chestnut and Walnut for sale. And my car is parked across. And, you know, they would like to tow it.
Are you going to move it so they won't tow it?
In fact, not. They can tow it.
Really?
Yeah.
You're a bold woman.
I'm a free-range princess. So what do I need a car for?
Well,
I only have to borrow $3,000 to keep it this long. Well, yeah. Forget it.
Well, that's a good point. Those are the fines you owe on the vehicle.
Yeah.
Anyhow. The fines originally came from how, Lucero?
Oh.
Where did the fines originate from?
I'm not going to disclose the source, but he is a chet complainer.
I will leave it to listeners to make their own conclusions here. I think you told me once before, but I've spaced it out.
He does give a shit.
So this was has to do with what?
He would like to have the shit container.
This is vehicle.
24/7.
Thank you. Take care. Is there any last words before I meander on here?
She can't handle me.
I guess not.
They can't handle me. I'm too much. They don't want me in jail. So I said, you owe me a T-shirt from last time I was here. I was a cleaner sleeper. And I said, wait a second. Maybe I'll come back for being arrested for walking around down the town, Santa Cruz, on the non-Pacific Avenue, topless. Guess what? You can walk around here topless, but you can't sit and lie. Well,
you could sit and lie topless.
Well, no, but see, if I just want to walk down topless, it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, I haven't seen many people doing
it. See, that's the volumes of the Santa Cruz.
If people started to do it, they would probably make that illegal as well, or try to. What's your court date, do you know?
It's August 3rd, supposedly, but I don't know. I said I want to speed up the process, so I got myself arrested.
Now, are those two tickets both for August 3rd or different court dates?
Well, it was for the first one that I didn't sign. And the second one, they got me arrested. I don't know if they give me anything anymore.
Take a look here. This is a yellow piece of paper.
And that's actually a pretty speedy court process. Maybe it's simply probably for an arraignment. For those who don't know, an arraignment is your first appearance in court independently of this hearing that they give you immediately if they want to arrest you and you don't sign, or they want you to sign a citation and you don't, they take you to court. And then you get a court date, and that court date is for an arraignment, which means that's where you say I'm guilty or I'm not guilty, or you make some other motion, which I won't get into at this time. So August 3rd is when she's going to go to court. That's pretty soon. You know, as for this business of her point is, you know, you can. In Santa Cruz, it's just, you know, you can walk up and down topless, but you can't sit down or lie down if you're a poor person in the downtown area. And my point was that if people began walking around topless, particularly women, I suspect the good conservative pseudo-liberal burgers of Santa Cruz and Pacific Avenue would act to change that. So, for instance, there used to be a guy called the Naked Guy in Berkeley 20 years ago. And he actually gave him a ride once. I don't know if he was naked when I gave him a ride. Maybe. He went to a city council meeting naked, and they were so upset that they passed a new law, and they passed it as an infraction law. So in the past, he and other people like the a series of naked performers were charged with misdemeanors, and they got a jury trial, and the jury would not find them guilty because they regarded it as freedom of expression. But once charges are reduced to an infraction, a lower standard, and you don't get a jury trial, you just get some judge acting like he or she is a jury, it's easier for the judge to go along with a repressive climate and say, no, we won't allow that, even though it's constitutionally clear you have a right to take off your clothes. I mean, they draw the line, and I don't think they should, at sexual activity. The idea that sexual activity is some sort of forbidden, dangerous taboo, and let's say carrying a gun is not, is, of course, completely preposterous and part of a sick history in this country, mostly having to do with, I think, religious repression. But there you have it. Let's hear some more, and I guess people can either get naked or just sit down or lie down on Pacific Avenue. But the only person doing so with any kind of regularity and defiance and determination seems to be Lucero Luna.
What does it say? It says, Lucero Luna, blah, blah, blah.
Okay, so here's this one.
Two citations. Two little tickets, and they're both for 9.5, or for lying on the sidewalk, I imagine. I got to put on my glasses to look at it more carefully. And I see they're giving you infraction tickets, but they took you to jail, Officer Burnham.
Because I refused to sign, not admitting that I violated the codes. I said, I know I'm violating the codes, so just take me. And, you know, reinforce the codes, the fucking codes.
Change the fucking codes. Let me ask you, when you were taken, they took you directly to court. What judge were you before? Do you remember?
Oh, yes, the one that was there for when I went as a plaintiff for Santa Cruz County.
You remember?
On the apartment, what's it?
One or two?
Yeah, one.
And you remember, was it Siegel?
No.
Was it Burdick?
Yeah.
Or was it Merrick?
Just put the sheriff last, her last name.
Oh, Deneen Guy, perhaps.
Luna.
Maybe it was.
What's my last name?
It's a visiting judge, huh?
The sheriff's, the bailiff, whatever, her last name was Luna.
I see, the
just
bailiff.
Just like me.
And the name of the judge, do you remember?
Well, yeah, you always just told me.
So it wasn't Maraganda then?
No.
So it was, you think it was.
It's the old fart.
Burdick.
Yes.
Paul Burdick. And what did Paul have to say to you about this? He said it was a good idea to arrest people for lying down?
No, he didn't want to comment. He didn't want to tell me what I had violated. He read my violations, and he told me when I could come back and I can provide visuals and the witnesses and crap like that.
And where were you lying down, and were you blocking the sidewalk?
Well, I started actually without kneeling over there at the corner of Cooper. You know, O'Neill, yeah?
Uh-huh.
I don't kneel. Okay.
You didn't kneel to O'Neill?
I don't obey. I'm a disobedient. I don't kneel, even if they beg me to kneel. So I was sitting over there in the structure, you know, the art structure you're not supposed to
sit. I do.
I was there with the... sleeping is not a crime. And people took pictures, and I asked the one of the false alarmists, you call for backup. But they didn't. So then I came to New Leaf, next to the door. And it was okay. You know, the fracker was there, you know, observing, and just, you know, and they called another fracker.
Fracker being the ranger in white or the...
False alarmer. Okay. Yeah. And then the bitch from New Leaf came and says, why do you move over there? I said, well, the purpose is, see my sign? I had a sign by then. I said, sitting is my protest. Freedom sleepers, sleeping is our protest.
Right.
So... they wanted me to move when it was legal to sit. And I said, no, this is a protest. So then she started getting louder, and then the blue badges got called.
Now, were you in?
They refused to arrest me.
Were you inside the blue box?
So I didn't sign the thing because I wanted to be arrested.
Now, in front of new...
So they took me to the judge, and then I came back.
Slow down.
Just a minute. I came back. And then I sat at the Forever 21, brainless and dickless and clueless assholes, frackers of child labor. That's where I got arrested.
I got a question for you about the New Leaf thing. And I appreciate that account. But the New Leaf thing, were you inside a blue box when you were sitting or not?
Oh, it was next to the door. It says on the ticket, sitting next to an entrance.
I believe it. But where was that entrance?
I was sitting against the wall.
You got your drink. She stuck in.
There used to be one of the rare blue boxes actually next to a building. There were two of them over the last few years. One of them was next to New Leaf, and the other one was right adjacent to the end of Forever 21. Those boxes have since, at least one of them has been removed, the one in front of New Leaf. And indeed, the whole number of boxes has been cut in half. As mentioned, there are very few, relatively few, and since you have to move every hour, according to the law, although I don't know that's being vigorously enforced at the moment, and you can't come back to that box for 24 hours, and it means that you can't really spend much time downtown, particularly if you have a large display that you need to disassemble and reassemble. Though it has to be said that some folks like Kevin the typist or the Joff and Alex have either abandoned their displays after the last tickets have kind of developed different displays where they're displaying the First Amendment but not displaying their artwork because they're afraid of it being damaged or confiscated or both.
And it snuck out without me knowing it.
No, your drink is...
That's my drink.
Yeah. Where did she go, though?
That way.
How long ago?
Go follow her. I don't know.
Jesus Christ.
So I understand that's what you were charged with, but is there a blue box next to New Leaf? Because there used to be.
I don't care. I don't give a shit.
No,
about
I understand.
Blue boxes.
I understand.
I don't think
there's one. So, what did they say to you on the second occasion, or I should say the third occasion, when you were in front of Forever 21?
I was actually taking a nap, and I did fall asleep, and they did wake me up. And there's this lady who's playing the guitar and stuff, and she says, excuse me. Because all the blue badges were laughing while they were discussing what they were going to sign me for or whatever. And so she goes, excuse me, why are you laughing? You know, she has a sign, it's asleep is her protest, and she was taking a nap, and you woke her up. Oh, wow, well, I will be a little... Will you step aside? I'll talk to you later.
Right.
Yeah.
How many cops and a security guard?
They had to call the big chief, the one above Sergeant Bush.
Lieutenant.
Lieutenant what?
I know.
And we have an actual phone call. Let's see who's daring to call in here. Hi, I hope you're on Free Radio. Can you hear me? Having some problems. Hello? Caller, try calling in again, if you can hear me.
Let's see. We'll take this off the air for a moment.
I don't know if it's equipment problems or someone hanging up. You might try one more time, caller, to see if you can actually get through. I think our phone line is working. All right, let's see. This should do it. Hello, can you hear me?
Hello?
Hi. Can you hear me?
Hello?
Turn down your volume. Turn down your radio.
Hello?
Or your... Hello, can you hear me?
Hang on. Hello?
Hello, can you hear me? Okay, you have to turn down your radio to hear me, because there's a delay. Computer, perhaps? I think I recognize this voice. This couldn't be the infamous Paul Cook, could it? I'm good. I can't. Yeah, I'd like to talk to you, but we're on the air, and the people listening can only hear one side of this conversation, and I don't know.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Okay.
So apparently, I can hear him. We can hear him. Actually, I think he's going out on the air, but he can't hear us. I don't know why that is. How dispiriting. Oh, well. Well, you can always send in an email. I will try to check the email periodically. Email is rnorse3@hotmail.com. rnorse3@hotmail.com. And trying to keep an eye on what's happening here. And there's another call. Let's see here. Hi, I hope you can hear me.
Hello, can you hear me now?
I can. Can you hear me now?
Hello?
Okay.
Might not be bad. Hello, Paul speaking.
Hi, Paul. You know, we can hear you, but apparently you can't hear us. That's the problem. See, right now I'm talking to you and you can hear me. But what I can do is, if you have you been listening to the show? Well, you can if you're. Do you have a computer? I gotcha. Well, let's do this. You have something you want to talk about on the air? Yeah, I mean, are you calling the radio station or are you calling me personally? Oh, we can. Why don't we do it right now? What do you think? What we're going to do is I can't ask you questions, but I can ask you questions, but unfortunately folks right now can't hear your answers, and I don't know if we can effectively do that, but you can give us a lengthy statement yourself about what's happening. And do you want to try that? We could try on Sunday. We could try coming back. Again, the issues you're going to be raising, if we were to summarize them, why don't you give us a teaser? You won't be able to hear me, but we will hear you while you just speak very briefly about what you may be talking about. Okay, hang on. Okay, start in about 5 seconds.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All right, good day to everybody at Santa Cruz. This is Paul Cook speaking. I'm live, I guess, with Robert North in Santa Cruz, and he asked me to come on the radio today. He asked me to give a brief introduction. We're having some technical difficulty right now, and they wanted me to speak about what's happening with my activism in Los Angeles. So right now I have a trial coming up, and the biggest thing that's happened since I've come on the air last time was that I got a Supreme Court order against the Court of Appeals for an underlying cause of action, which was a First Amendment retaliation. And that had to deal with my case, where the mayor tried to get a temporary restraining order against me, which I prevailed against him on. And after that, I countersued him, basically in small claims court, for malicious prosecution. It looks like the state courts in California do not want this claim to go through, and it made it all the way to the Supreme Court, which rejected it, and afterwards it got rejected. The mayor did it again, against one of my clients, and I had to defeat him again. And at that point, I petitioned the Supreme Court, who asked the Court of Appeals to review it. And so that's where we last left off. I'll try to come back on Sunday and tell you how that all went, because it's probably not an ending we all expect.
And that was the dead air had me talking to Paul Cook. Actually, you couldn't hear it. He's going to come back on Sunday to talk more about this case. We've actually discussed this a year or two ago on the air when he was raising issues at city council. They tried to silence him, and they tried to have him to arrest him for giving out flyers. They tried to have a court an injunction brought against him. Paul is a very active and apparently savvy attorney down there, and he successfully resisted that, made some media. If you look up Paul Cook and Southern California, you'll be able to find the whole story online. He has his own blog, and hopefully we'll hear more about that on Sunday. Now it's time for a little music. I haven't been hearing too much in the way of music, so it's music time. Looks like problems aplenty here. I have to resolve them. We're going to hear that in a moment. That's Ryan Harvey's song. I won't be a part of it. And let's begin again.
Down before you call him a man, how many seas must the white dove sail?
Rock the boat, no, I'd rather sink the boat. Do anything I can to bring justice to this land. Vote for a Democrat. No, I know it gets better than that. And I'm not gonna compromise. All politicians are full of lies. It's not one man who shakes the iron hand. The system and its war machines, the courts, prisons, and armories for private gain. You'd best start rioting. The president's just the start of it. The lies, the war, I won't be part of it. For 500 years, same slaves, same rusty gears. And all the poor have gained is bigger cells and longer chains and less to eat. Forget the laws, get in the street. The police are very strong, but that won't last very long. It's not a mystery. Ooh, look at our history. Rebellion works just fine. You just gotta hold the line. We need to educate, rebel and penetrate. Dig deep into the heart of it and hit 'em where it hurts. I won't be part of it. Converted into bravery. What is now selective service used to be indentured servant. It's this braveness that killed the natives. Smallpox and diseases, now we all drive SUVs, and it's disgusting. The paint is rusting as the factories move other places to pay workers lower wages. Little colonies cut down all the olive trees. Their sweatshop, so Walmart is rich, the system calls it growth. I won't be part of it. Ooh, free nation, military occupation, starve your citizens just to get rid of them. When they raise up their voices, maybe ask for better choices. Who will lead them? Who will feed them? We were friends when the arms were sent, and now they're fighting back. I won't be part of it. I won't be part of it. I won't be part of it. I won't be part of it.
And that was Ryan Harvey. I won't be part of it. You're tuned to Free Radio 101.3 FM, replete with questionable equipment and clumsy broadcasting. And my apologies for that. Do try to bear with me, though. I think some of what comes out of the show is worth hearing. And that's what I'm here for, just because I think it's worth talking about. Back to Lucero Luna on July 20th on the sidewalk. Protesting the laws that affect all of us every day, but that most of us are very silent on and continue to stay within the coloring box, the sandbox, the dotted lines, the protest pens. I did that yesterday. I was downtown after the Huff meeting, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom meeting. My table was squarely inside the blue box, though my chair was outside the blue box. And the person I was with, a rather radical fellow who is not radical at all about getting arrested. He is not interested in that in the least. So that's always an issue of contention between me and him, because I think if you're not willing to risk arrest, you're not going to get very far. But there is something to be said for the pointlessness of symbolic arrest. It doesn't necessarily inspire people to do what you're doing and join you. It just inspires some people to go. And that's the reason some people cover their faces in protest, because they don't really want to make themselves targets for the police, and that's really quite understandable. I've adopted a kind of middle-of-the-road strategy, and as they say, if you're in the middle of the road, you get hit, and strangely enough, I haven't been hit that much, which is good. I don't like getting hit.
Know his name.
He came twice to explain the fucking law that I already know.
And what did this lieutenant say to you?
Oh, he explained if I didn't sign the thing. I said, I already know this is real, okay? Just take me. I'm begging you.
And there were, when we saw, I saw some photos that George took of the arrest.
I haven't seen it. Can I see him?
I don't have him with me, but you know.
Was I smiling?
you were looking good. Actually, it was hard to see you, I think. But a nice looking skirt, by the way.
Thank you. Because the church had a great time undressing me yesterday, so I want to provide the pleasure of doing it again today.
So we saw four cops in the photo. I guess that was in front of Forever 21.
I have no clue. I'm not counting the cops. They can bring the SWAT team. I don't give a shit.
Fair enough. And did you get your phone back?
No, my phone back, my debit card, and everything else is in storage, so I get it tomorrow, I guess. So that's why I brought some more, for them to inventory and take off my body, and then I can get all together, hopefully, tomorrow. And $140, I give it to the Vigilante Joe, because he calls the cops every time we protested there. I said, here is for your non-profit.
Of Joe's Pizza.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually Jim, that's his name, I think.
Well, whatever.
Joe was his dad.
He didn't want it, so I threw it over there for him to pick it up and put it in the trash. Maybe he'll still have the energy to bend over after all this legal matters goes a bit. They're back Santa Cruz criminals, the real one.
How do you know that Jim was the one who called the cops?
He calls all the time.
But you know,
because we protest over there. Jeff, and I do the dancing thing. Mm-hmm.
Did you get any support from any...
Jim is the head of Joe's Pizza. You'll often see him, or I used to see him anyway, hanging out with police officers and first alarm guards on the sidewalk in front of Joe's Pizza on Pacific Avenue. And I don't really have any particular personal problem with Joe, but it sounds like I have a political problem, because he seems to... I haven't really talked to him about it, but he seems to be rather closely involved with the police. And that always troubles me, because the notion that Pacific Avenue is a police problem is a very reactionary one, based upon the notion that it's a police problem, I think, to have poor visible people downtown. And the false narrative that, oh, they're not after poor people or people of color, they're just after people who violate the laws, when the laws were set up to make it difficult for people who are poor to use the public spaces at all without violating one of numerous laws, and to essentially put them in a position where they're kind of in a large prison yard, where if they don't do what they're told to do by the police, which shouldn't be the case at all in a free society, then they risk getting fined, ticketed, jailed, and having their property confiscated. Lucero Luna, for example, will not be able to get her property back except on Tuesdays and Thursdays at the police station between the hours of 12:30 and 2:30 if she gets it back at all. I got no clear reports on that I remember, whether she actually got her property from a week ago.
You know, other performers or folks in the area?
Well, the lady, I can't know her name, that was playing and singing over there, she came, she brought me some cheese, she got me some flowers. I said, I don't eat cheese, and I'm sorry, I can't keep the flowers because they're not going to let me keep them, so she took them.
And was there any comment from people as the police, in relatively large numbers, gathered?
No, they were documenting, they were doing stuff, but no one said anything to me. No one addressed me.
Were many people videoing this?
Yeah, there were several.
And did they give you? They gave you no contact information.
Yeah. What do you mean contact information?
In other words, phone numbers.
No. When so they're not there.
You're also risking your vehicle here, are you not?
Yeah, I don't give a crap about it. I'm a freelance princess, so the vehicle is too expensive. I have to borrow $3,000 to get it from Alliance something one in downtown Santa Cruz and get my DMV thing, license from the whatever.
The organization that Lucero mentions, Community Alliance One, I think it's called, is the so-called solution for those who have racked up huge amounts of fines through not doing community service or not going to court for the endless citations that the police and the rangers have been giving out for crimeless crimes, such as being in a park after dark or sleeping or smoking, all these things that are actually innocent behavior, especially when they are done off to the side privately. And really, for homeless people, there is no privacy. They have to be in public places. They have no choice if they're in Santa Cruz. And that's one of the reasons why courts have ruled in Los Angeles and other cities that not only is it cruel and unusual punishment to punish people who are sleeping with a criminal charge, but it's also it can't be considered a crime because sleep is necessary to the support of life, and people fall asleep at night, and therefore if there's no place for them to do it legally, you can't claim that they are violating the law if your law is essentially stating you can't sleep legally anywhere, because that makes everyone illegal who has no means to purchase a hotel room or a trip to some other community, or has a friend that they can sleep in their house, or is renting a house or a hotel.
So, yeah, they can
tell you where to get that paid for.
I have a lot of jewelry there, new clothes that I haven't worn that I keep buying, and I don't give a shit to wear them, but just give me the pleasure of buying them. And sometimes I pass them along, and sometimes I keep them for a while.
Honesty.
I have silk and you name it, tie dyeing that I got the West World Market.
Always the best policy.
Oh, yeah, shit.
I like the dress. A skirt, as I said before, it's very looks like my T-shirt. It's very tie dye.
Yeah.
However, your literature is falling all over the sidewalk here. This is a sad situation.
Look at this one. Queen of Love. When they undress me, it shows.
We'll leave this here.
there was a phone call, which unfortunately I couldn't really broadcast. My apologies for the dead air. And let's continue with Life with Lucero on Pacific Avenue.
So we have an additional bit of info from Lucero Luna, who has mentioned you are boycotting Marini's.
Yes, I'm boycotting Marini's because last year I was able to table right there. They don't. Fuck you.
You're pointing to an area right in front of Marini's on the sidewalk. And I see a woman who's closely observing you from Dell Williams. Do you know this woman?
No. Well, maybe you like this one.
And so Lucero holds up a sign that says, hold it up again, Lucero. Let me see what it says. It says, where the power of love overcomes the love of power of the world, will know peace, Jimi Hendrix.
No.
When the power of love outstrips the love of power, I guess, the world will know peace. There was a woman watching from inside Dale Williams Jewelers. Could have been, who knows, possibly Ryan Coonerty's wife, I believe. The Board of Supervisors member, the guy who favors eliminating cannabis production largely from his supervisorial district, according to activists who we've interviewed on free radio in the last few months, and also who gave us the parking lot panic law in Santa Cruz City, the law that makes it illegal to be in a parking lot, even sitting in your vehicle reading a book, unless you are parking or retrieving your vehicle. You can walk through the parking lot, though, so there is that that great grace. So I don't know. There was people have got a right to watch what goes on around them. I have no idea if the Dell Williams woman inside the jewelry store was the spouse of Ryan Coonerty, or if she had anything to do with police and rangers showing up to help Lucero, or to harass Lucero. Actually, one has to say it was harass Lucero. Here's some more.
And
her point about Marini's was that Marini's is the candy shop, I guess, adjacent to or closely down from Dell Williams Jewelers. Not only is it owned by a conservative Republican family, I hear, I haven't verified it, but it also was instrumental in removing the blue box area that had previously been in front of Marini's as a performance spot, as a free speech zone, as a so-called exempt zone. When I call it the Blue Box Massacre happened, and they removed half the blue boxes, those boxes that were set up by the liberal Don Lane and the arch reactionary Pamela Comstock 2 years ago.
Dale Williams, you know, she's also, I think someone there is married to Ryan Coonerty, who's the supervisor. So, she's moved to another part of the store, I believe. And that is the report from the bench here outside Dale Williams Jewelers. Any final words, Lucero? I think she took off.
Because this one, it says,
says militarism is an imperial catastrophe, materialism is a spiritual catastrophe, racism is a moral catastrophe, and poverty is an economic catastrophe. And I would say the downtown ordinances are a homeless catastrophe.
It's a war on humanity.
Only the poor.
The poor. And the working poor. And the enslaved volunteers of non-profits.org.
What are you looking here? I think you get my...
Thank you, Lucero.
Nothing here, no.
Keeping a weather eye on the elder Selman, who is walking up and down Pacific Avenue with a camera, with the eye to seeing just what the photographic interest is. And I was concerned he was going to take Lucero's picture, and I wanted to make sure he was aware his picture was being taken at the same time. Take care, Lucero.
And the elder Selman is the father of Matisse Selman, the only private citizen that I remember ever having sued along with Sergeant Butchie Baker for false arrest. Matisse used to have a stand, a sushi stand right outside New Leaf. It's now an information kiosk. And he had me arrested for blocking the sidewalk, you know, a place where the sidewalk is at least 24 feet wide. In any case, the elder Selman, who I've actually, I don't know if I'd say we had civil contact since that episode 14 years ago, but we have had, you know, we aren't at each other's throat. I said hello to him, and he may have said hello to me. You know, you get into the situation in Santa Cruz where you, you know, if you're not in a confrontational situation that involves a principled issue, you don't need to express hostility toward people. They are, after all, we're all, to some extent, in this same journey from here to there, and who knows where there is. And it's all, you're born, you live, and you die, you know, that sort of thing. I'd say call in at 427-3772, but it appears the two phone calls that I actually got today, and thanks to both callers for calling in, by the way, even though it was a screw-up. Call 423-4833. Call 423-4833. Leave a message, and I will pass on your thoughts at the next show. That's my home phone and also the voicemail for Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. And, yeah. And I think we're going to take another musical break.
Tools that we can use to empower one another, so I
Ryan Harvey, Live My Life. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.3 FM, freakradio.org. The name of this show is Bathrobes, Pierres, Broadsides. I'm Robert Norris. And the number to call to leave a message, to give me an update. Unfortunately, it's not the studio line, but I think hopefully next Sunday it will be. You can actually reach me in the studio, but unfortunately you can't go on the air in the studio at the same time as we can have a dialogue, so we're going to have to wait on that. But the number off air is 423-4833, 423-4833. I was scanning some of the correspondence with between John Colby and who's acting as a homeless advocate, or I should say a disabled advocate, for Andy Carcero. I mentioned a resident at the Homeless Lack of Services, Pauli Loft. And I found a series of demands. I'm always a fan of demands because I think it clarifies issues if you want to specifically state what you believe the abuse is to be. And these are the demands that, I'm not sure if these are the demands that John Colby is making on behalf of Andy Carcero, or Andy's making them through John. In any case, they don't sound like unreasonable demands. Here's what they are. One, nullify the homeless lack of service center's illegal 30-day exit notice immediately and email Andy, CC to me, and that the homeless service center has done this. Allow Andy to stay at the homeless service center until he receives an inheritance in about 90 days. Stop harassing and threatening him. Stop retaliating against him for being a whistleblower to federal law enforcement agencies around these issues. And the justifications are, Andy has lived there for 5.5 years. He has paid rent. Thus, he has renter's rights. He is a tenant, not a temporary resident. Homeless Service Center made no lease nor written agreement with him. He has an implicit lease, which is open-ended. He must be served a notice of lease termination with at least 30-day notice and possibly 90-day notice, depending on how Homeless Service Center is currently funded under California state law. Andy's due process rights. He has the right to fight any eviction in a court of law. And the Homeless Lack of Service Center's exit, as I call them, is illegal. Thus, it has no legal force. And then John kind of follows up with what I regard as his rather gratuitous comments about Homeless Lack of Services Center and staff face criminal and civil actions by the state and federal government, and he'll be following up with the Department of Justice and a variety of other agencies. And I'm often skeptical of and wearied by these additions that Colby adds to what sounds like a series of reasonable concerns and demands. Because I've never gotten any indication that any federal agency has ever done anything and paid any attention to this stuff. Not that they shouldn't, and not that they won't, but they haven't. And to give people the impression that they are and they do is to weaken both his credibility, credibility of those he wants to represent, and those who associate with him, frankly. Nonetheless, Andy is apparently getting the boot on Monday. And it looks like John will be organizing some kind of protest there. And if he does, I'll be there. If you want more information about this, give me a call at 423-4833, 423-HUFF, and that I will give to you. Interviews from the Streets continues here on Free Radio. Ran into some folks outside City Hall right before I think it was a planning commission meeting. They don't have any city council meetings this month. They're all on vacation. But there are other meetings happening. Let's hear some thoughts from folks lurking outside the city council.
Jimmy Two Guns.
Jimmy, you were at a meeting at the library?
Impromptu meeting put together by the staff at the library, and a woman had like a Thursday morning coffee and was open for suggestions on how to have us monitor the hard the hard bathrooms, not a porta potty.
Here at City Hall, or
the at Front Street, Locust Street, what's that one? Soquel.
Mm-hmm.
Alternate between the two, or have the two open, the one on Soquel and the one here on Locust.
The councilwoman who was there, Pam Comstock, or
no, it was just an impromptu Thursday coffee meeting. You could probably get more answers by going, you know, to the library and talking to, you know, Joe is the guy, the head guy at the library. And he said you could speak with the lady's name is Malia, I think her name is, and she's trying to put it together to get on the agenda.
How many folks were at the meeting?
There's about 10 of us.
And were these mostly folks from out? That's okay.
All
from outside. They're all
homeless. All the people were homeless. She was once a student here, and then she became homeless. And then her family came to her aid, and then, you know, she saw the, how can I put it, deplorable conditions. That we're supposed to use, like 4,000 people are supposed to use a porta potty.
Shitty conditions, in many ways.
To say the least.
So, what was her name, do you know?
Oh, you had to speak with Joe, you know, the head librarian. I guess the guy, yeah. And he would let you know. I had her business card, I don't have one now.
Was there another meeting planned?
They've had another one since then.
Oh.
And it's on a Thursday, maybe. I think they do it once a month. I forget which Thursday it was.
So they talk about having a shitter once a month.
Yeah. How funny, you know. We're trying to put together the agenda, you know, get it together in a way that it can be put on an agenda and at least talked about.
Take it. Well, you
keep
know.
Your fingers crossed. Yeah.
I guess. I'll look.
What's your take on that? I mean,
well, obviously you need, you know, they got bathrooms here. They could open 24 hours if they wanted to.
Exactly, and they have guards there.
Yeah, they have first alarm thugs patrolling the area. You know, so
there we go. I mean, if we were able to access this, we would make sure it would stay clean. You know, it's just lead by example. But give us a situation where we can show how to lead by example.
Well, it's obviously better than having people shit all over the place. You know?
It's a power struggle. Not even a place, you know, to wash your hands or even drink water lately.
Yeah, the drinking fountains all seem to be going out of commission, don't they?
And the bathrooms seem to be always locked.
Well, I tried to go into the bathroom at City Hall.
He told me that
it's actually open, but you can't turn on the lights.
It got broken and it was leaking inside the wall.
So it's, I mean, you know, they have a meeting of people there, you know. I mean, ordinary people.
We go in the morning, we go like 7:30, 8 o'clock, and then the bathroom is closed, man.
Right.
We got to wait till the library is open. It's not open yet. So we go to the public parking lot to the bathrooms, and that's five people before you, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
There's no
you know, you're crapping your pants, right?
Yeah, come on. It's like.
And what we have here is, you know, the library, which has bathrooms that it could open as well, suggesting that, you know, they're having meetings about opening bathrooms somewhere else in town, the ones actually that Pamela Comstock directed the staff through the city council to open a year ago. They did for 6 months, and then they closed, well, they opened one of the two, then they closed it down. Even the one that is supposedly open during city council or meetings where the city council chambers are being used by public agencies was in sad shape when I went in there. The lights didn't work. That was the same evening when you hear me talking to these folks. Now, I'm going to interrupt this because I have on the line John Colby, who wants to make a statement about the comments I've made in the last few minutes, and I wish we could have a dialogue, but we really can't because the screwed up phone situation. But I'm going to put John on for about, 3 to 5 minutes so he can give his own thoughts, and you can hear what he has to say.
You ready, John? John? You ready? Hang on. I'll start in about 5 seconds.
I just like to say that what Robert said about me presenting, like I have investigations or can get them, is kind of making me look not credible. True, I've gotten federal law enforcement investigations in the past, and I two more just recently last week. In 2009, the USDOJ opened a fair housing investigation of the Mission Gardens apartments and the management here. And the residents who were harassing us here, and that lasted for about almost 4 years before it was closed because a reporter called the USDOJ and asked them why they weren't protecting us during their investigation, and they said they closed it. So that was basically closed because they were embarrassed. And in 2009, I also made complaints to HUD's Office of Inspector General, another federal law enforcement agency, and I got four or more investigations, which went on for about 5 years until 2013, when the John Stewart Company's lawyer retaliated against me for the investigations and terminated my tenancy. And instead of the law enforcement agencies prosecuting him for interfering with the law enforcement investigation, they threw me under the bus as a whistleblower and let my tenancy be terminated. So I had four, that was like five law enforcement, federal law enforcement investigations. And just recently, in the last 2 weeks, or the last week, again about the Mission Garden Department and potentially about Andy Carcello, I got a TIGTA, which is IRS, OIG, Federal Law Enforcement Agency, investigating the Mission Garden Department again, and the administering agency, the California Tax Credit Allocation Committee, who oversees Mission Gardens Department. That's another one. That was last week. And then now this week, we got another one, another HUD OIG investigation into the Mission Gardens Department. And potentially, I'm going to try to get it to cover Andy Carcello, too, and what's happening at the Homeless Service Center, because they're funded, I believe, by HUD. That's a number of law enforcement investigations I have got. And already, and I expect that I will be able to get many, many more. So I just wanted to clear that up. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you, John, for calling in. And I apologize we can't have a more responsive back and forth on that. And, you know, maybe we can on Sunday. That could be possible. And also, please let us know, John, if you are actually carrying out this protest when it happens on, if it happens on Monday, and if so, what time people should show up and so forth. You know, I'm not much of a fan of believing that federal agencies are going to do diddly squat, and I think they have aptly shown that they won't generally. And if you can get an investigation started, you may have found yourself up out on your ass looking up at the stars or looking down at the dirt. And that doesn't mean that it isn't, you know, a meaningful attempt to try to do it. But it does mean that, and I have to use phrases like ballyhooing it or celebrating it or, you know, recommending it to others as some kind of an avenue of redress, I think it's misleading. And it's just my opinion. You know, I could be wrong, and hopefully I am wrong. You know, that'd be great if I'm wrong. And we can talk about that more on Sunday. And I thank John for listening and calling, and I thank him for the work he's doing. You know, I mean, we may disagree on modes, methods, and roads, but we sure as hell don't disagree on what the injustices are and that they need to be addressed. So that's for sure. If people have any thoughts on this that they want to pass on, either email me at rnorris3@hotmail, give me a call on the off-air line at 423-4833, because it's just, it's awfully cumbersome to try to deal with this, you know, here on in the studio with either it's defective equipment or a defective broadcaster, and perhaps both, or who knows what. Let's hear some more about this attempt to get, essentially, it's to get bathrooms reopened, 24-hour bathrooms. Santa Cruz has one 24-hour bathroom. It isn't even a bathroom. It's a porta potty. And it looks like someone's calling in again. Again, I don't know if we can do anything about this, so I'll see who it is. Hello, you're not on free radio. John? Okay, well, you know, why don't you cover all those details on Friday? Because then you'll have more time. Okay, John. I mean, we had this problem yesterday with many, many phone calls to me and many, many messages. So, all right. Well, hang on. We'll give you wait. We'll give you a chance to add that. Take about a minute, and wait 5 seconds.
I just wanted to add that I'm also seeking litigation from private attorneys, and I'm going to raise money using crowdfunding and other methods I'm seeking litigation through private attorneys against these people, not only through federal agencies, but through private attorneys on behalf of Andy Carcello and all these other disabled homeless people, and also against the criminalization of homeless people, disabled homeless people in the city of Santa Cruz, and also for my sister and I with what we're happening to us at the Mission Gardens apartment. So I have been speaking to attorneys. I've been communicating with them, and some are interested in taking these cases. So we're also going to go through the courts, through federal district courts, not through the local courts, to get seek justice for that we deserve. So I just wanted to add that too. Thank you. Bye.
And thank you, John, for adding, your thoughts. I mean, and a record of what your experience has been. I have very little faith in attorneys. I've heard this song for many years. And, you know, sometimes attorneys can have an impact. And people with great sincerity attempt to get attorneys, and they shouldn't. I mean, they should do what they think best trying to do it. I think paying huge amounts of money to attorneys is something that... It depresses me because of the injustice of paying somebody hundreds of dollars an hour when most people make a fraction of that. But also that we're dealing with a system that is generally pretty corrupt, the legal system. There can be victories, you know, it's true. But also, I mean, I got to admit myself, I've talked about even taking legal action not involving attorneys, and I haven't followed up on it or have not been successful in doing it recently. In the past, I have had some small victories. It's difficult when it is enthusiastically being proposed as though it is a viable alternative that is likely to result in a consequence that's positive. I just don't think that's the case. I'm not the only person involved here, and I'm not the only person with an opinion, and as I said, I can always be wrong.
Hey, we need any more services, you know, around people to understand the needs on the morning, you know.
We've been talking with
Rafael Saldana.
Yes, I played you on the radio tonight, Rafael.
Okay, sounds good. Thank
you. You're a star, so.
Right on.
Yeah, so if you're interested, if anybody's interested, the bathroom is actually open right now if you want to use it, the men's bathroom. I walked in.
Do the lights work?
The lights do not work, so you have to piss in the dark.
Yeah, that's
or bring a flashlight.
That's ridiculous. Well, isn't
ludicrous.
It?
Most homeless people have flashlights, or cigarette lighters or something.
Take your flashlight with you at all times.
Yeah, bring your lighter.
Yes, make sure you
hold it in one hand.
Or a candle. A candle would be good.
Yeah.
And look for an honest man while you're at it there.
Oh, my God.
And again, we were talking with
Jimmy Two Guns.
And with
Larry Brookshire.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, Larry.
And Billy Gillette.
And Billy Gillette.
William Gillette.
And William Gillette. Any other reports, gang, about what's going on that you want to pass on to Free Radio?
Yeah.
It's been a while. It's been like 2 months, you know, since I stayed over here at the...
Freedom Sleepers?
Yes. And then one night they were constantly, like every 15 minutes the cops were coming. Every 15 minutes they would go by and go by and go by. And then it was like about 5 o'clock in the morning. Then they decided... Three officers stopped. I mean, three cars. And then they came over, and there was the, what do you call the thing? The thing they set up, and then they had the booklets and the food.
A couple of tables.
Like two tables and the
canopy.
And the canopy, yes. Thank you very much. And the canopy. And they waited until 5 o'clock in the morning. And then they stopped, and then they said, oh, well, this is not okay. This is illegal, so we're just going to take it down. And people that were sleepy got up. And they said, no, 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 we'll move it. So then they moved it out to the street, and the cops were like, oh, okay, fine. But they had been around all night long, and they could have said something earlier. But they waited till 5 when they rousted everybody. And then there was a gentleman who was sleeping on the bricks, and they were not very kind to him. They're like, you need to get up. He's like, okay. They're like, no, you need to move right now. And he's like, he was trying to move, and he wasn't moving fast enough for them. So,
have you been regularly going to the Freedom Sleepers?
I usually do. I'm usually there. I have missed the last two or three, but I'm usually there.
Well, they're probably missing you.
I don't know if they're missing me. You know.
We
don't put that on.
No. Okay. Well, we've been talking with
Rhonda.
Thanks, Rhonda.
You're very welcome.
Should be on Free Radio Sunday morning.
Okay. When can we hear this?
Sunday morning.
On.
And as you can hear, these shows are usually put on at a later time than the ones that I tell people they should expect to hear them, and I should be a little clearer about that. That's really my hope, that the shows will be put on immediately, but it doesn't, probably doesn't even regularly work out that way. So the Freedom Sleepers, that is the group that sleeps in front of City Hall every Tuesday night, is still sleeping in front of City Hall every Tuesday night. It was a somewhat smaller group, according to Monterey Max, who showed up at the Huff meeting afterward to give a report on the Freedom Sleepers. And he noted that it was a smaller group, but it's still continuing to do it. Food was still served of a limited kind. Coffee was available. I'm not sure that there was that much food. I believe Keith McHenry of Food Not Bombs is kind of not feeling well, and Abby Samuels, another lead person in Food Not Bombs, was in Philadelphia, may still be in Philadelphia, dealing with, protesting against the Democratic Party's convention, to which I would say, although I'll be accused of being negative here, I'm sure, I suppose it's a good place to meet other protesters and form and link up and do networking, and that's for sure. But I think protesting the Democratic National Convention is like talking to a stone wall. But, you know, it's nice to see Leon Panetta wincing at the boos in the audience, negative shouts that greet his warmongering peace fluff talk, which is what he's been the Secretary of War, or is previously Secretary of War. Secretary of Defense is what they like to cover it as, but it's really the Secretary of War. So, nearing the end of the show here, seeing if there's any quick num-nums I can pass on to you. There was something sent to me by Tenants Together, which is a group, that a statewide group fighting for a rent control and renter protection. I believe local activist Cynthia Berger was trying to cover this with her own Santa Cruz tenants union organization, and I don't know what's happened to that recently. If anybody does, please call me at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. And here's the latest that I got by email. 60 grassroots organizations in racially and economically diverse areas across California have formed Californians for Affordable Housing to reject Governor Brown's housing plan, Trailer Bill 707. A week of action was apparently coming up next week to object to a housing plan that would enable for-profit developers to obtain approvals of mostly market-rate housing projects by right, without public or environmental review. The plan has the potential, this group writes, to undermine rent control protections by expediting demolition of existing housing without public input. With five California cities going on the ballot this November to establish rent control protections, which is quite unusual, and 12 cities with existing rent control protections, Santa Cruz is not one of them, we won't stand by and let Governor Brown undo our work. And there's some suggestions as to how to fight back against this plan of Governor Brown's. If anybody's interested, call me at 423-4833 or just look up Tenants Together online. You'll find their thoughts. It's not about affordable housing, according to Tenants Together. Brown's proposal does not address California's real barriers to producing affordable housing. The proposal fails to address the need for dedicated affordable housing funding, the priorities of disadvantaged communities, or exclusionary zoning, the most fundamental affordable housing and displacement issues. Not too sure about what exclusionary zoning means in this context. Governor Brown's plan is being presented as an affordable housing policy, but it would only create one affordable home for every 19 luxury market rate units. This is a bad deal for low-income families and communities. Strips away citizen input. Democracy is not a barrier for development. Exclusionary local zoning regulations, not community participation, keeps affordable homes from being built. I guess it means limits on density, limits on where you can build in various through various zoning restrictions. Participation by low-income communities has proven to result in greater affordable housing, lesser environmental impacts, retention of small businesses, and a stable, diverse economic base. Increases displacement. A policy that gives by-right control to for-profit developers simply deregulates luxury housing development, which causes displacement of lower-income communities. We believe in a California that is home to people of all economic, social, and ethnic backgrounds. Not for long, it seems. Although I certainly agree with that as well. Erodes existing protections. This plan has the potential to undermine rent control protections by expediting demolition of existing housing without public input. In other words, it's going to essentially tell developers they can roll right ahead without the kind of environmental review and other sorts of review that would require and allow, if not require, public input. Around which, by the way, on August 10th, my appeal of the city council's drive the RVs out of town law, which would make it illegal for RVs to park between midnight and 5 anywhere in Santa Cruz unless they have purchased a permit, which cannot be purchased unless you are a person who's renting or owning. That is has been on hold for 9 months due to the appeal process, much to my surprise, by the way. And they are considering it at a Coastal Commission hearing coming up on August 10th in the Scotts Valley. And I'll be giving you more details about that on Sunday. If you have any thoughts about it or any desire to be a part of the appeal process, give me a call at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. That's the off-air number for this show. And I think that we're winding down to the end of the show. It should be a longer show coming our way on Sunday when I come back at 9:30 to give you more of the same and hopefully some actual functioning equipment. And my apologies for loud crunching during the show, which you may have heard at different points as I scarfed down some edibles. And, yeah. So I will be back on Sunday. Coming up next is I think it's a recorded version of The Cream to the Dregs. I don't think Uncle Dennis is back in town yet. And I'm going to be putting on something, one of his old shows, although I keep hoping that man will record another show. Come on, Dennis. And if you want to reach me off air, you call me at the number mentioned.